Thank you. So I'll be talking about some of our results from tracking deep soil nitrogen in cover crop systems. So I'm going to start by giving a little background with the problem of winter leaching. So in a preliminary study, we took deep soil cores across Maryland and Pennsylvania on 29 farm fields, and we found that there were very large pools of nitrogen remaining in the soil profile from 0 down to 180 centimeters deep. So from the top 2 meters of soil, we found approximately 100 kilograms per hectare of nitrate nitrogen and almost 120 kilograms per hectare of ammonium nitrogen remaining. And this is after growing a corn or soybean crop. So after the corn or soybean crop finished taking up all of their nitrogen, there's still these almost over 200 kilograms per hectare of mineral nitrogen remaining in the soil profile. So this nitrogen is at risk for leaching during the winter months, and especially the nitrogen in the deeper soil layers is closer to being near the groundwater. So we hypothesized that cover crops planted by early September will capture the subsoil nitrogen, and that spring immobilization of the nitrogen that's typically seen in cereal cover crops can be mitigated by including brassicas or legume species in the mixture. So basically, after planting the corn and soybean, we have this large pool of nitrogen remaining. And if you plant a radish or a rye or mixed cover crop early enough, these cover crops will grow deep roots. During the fall, they'll be able to capture this pool of nitrogen from the deep soil layers, bring it back up to the soil surface, and when they decompose, this nitrogen will release on the soil surface and be available for the following corn crop. That was our hypothesis. So to answer some of our research questions, we use nitrogen isotope tracers, and I'll first go over some of the questions that we were trying to answer. So first, does the planting date affect the ability of cover crops to capture the subsoil nitrate? Second, do the cover crop species differ in their abilities to capture the subsoil nitrate? And will legume influence the nitrate uptake of the other species in the cover crop mix? And then finally, can the cover crops pick up deep soil nitrogen in the spring if they miss it in the fall? So if they have little fall growth but a lot of spring growth, will they be able to capture that deep soil nitrate? So to answer these questions, we used a nitrogen isotope tracer, nitrogen 15, which is a naturally occurring isotope of nitrogen. It just has one extra neutron, so it's heavier, and it can be detected using mass spectroscopy, and so we use that as a tracer. And we buried this nitrogen 15 at different depths in the soil. So we had three burial depth treatments. We buried it at either 60 centimeters, 120 centimeters, or 180 centimeters. And to bury this, we took soil cores using VMR probes to make the hole, and then we inserted a clean PVC pipe here, and then we poured a solution of potassium nitrate with 99% of the nitrogen 15 tracer, and we poured this down the PVC pipe so it reached our desired depth. We rinsed out the pipe to be sure all 50 milliliters got there, and then we removed the PVC pipe and we backfilled the hole. We used about 30 centimeters of the subsoil, and then most of the hole we backfilled with a bentonite sand mix, which expanded and kind of prevented roots from preferentially growing down that hole that we had made. And then on the surface, we replaced the topsoil. And we had 5 burial points within each plot, and so that's our burial scheme there. And you can see the 5 burial points. And so then after that, we planted the cover crops on top of where we had buried the tracer. So we had 2 different cover crop planting date treatments, an early treatment and a late treatment, and then we had 4 different cover crop species treatments. We had a monoculture of forage radish, a monoculture of rye, cereal rye, then we had a forage radish and cereal rye two-way mixture, and then we had a 3-way mixture of the cereal rye, forage radish, and a crimson clover as a legume. These photos were all taken on November 3rd, so about 2 months after the early treatments had been planted and about a month after the later treatments had been planted. So you can kind of see the difference in the amount of growth that we had. So we sampled the biomass in these plots, And we tested that biomass for nitrogen 15 tracer. So the idea was that if there's tracer in the biomass of the cover crops, that means that they reached the depth that we buried the tracer. So we sampled them in late November, December, after the fall growth, and then we sampled them again in late May after the spring growth before we would follow all the cover crop treatments by planting corn. And then we sampled the corn in June at the V5 stage, and then again we sampled it in October at harvest. We sampled the corn grain. And all of these samples were sent off to the Cornell Stable Isotope Lab, where they were analyzed for the presence of this nitrogen 15, which again would mean that the roots of the cover crops had reached those depths that we had planted it, had buried it. Okay, so what did we find? First, I'll talk about some of the species differences that we found. So these graphs here show the percent of nitrogen 15 enriched. So the zero level is the background level, and anything above zero is more nitrogen 15 than you would expect. So that means it reached the tracer. And so we found that these are for the 60 centimeter placement of the tracer. So we found that the radish top and the tuber is the orange bars and the top is the blue bars, the top and the tuber reached the tracer from 60 centimeters. The rye monoculture treatment reached it. And then within the three-way mix, we found that the radish top and the tuber had this tracer in them. However, the rye and the clover did not. So the rye and the clover within the mix did not have significantly more nitrogen 15 than the background level. So now go over our planting date and our depth treatments. So the y-axis shows the amount enriched, with zero being the background level. And then the graph on the left shows where we had buried the tracer at 60 centimeters. The graph in the middle is the deeper at 120 centimeters, and the graph on the right is where we had buried it at 180 centimeters. So we found for the most shallow depth, which was 60 centimeters, the September planted cover crops, so the early planting, picked up nitrogen 15 in higher amounts than the October 1st planting, the later planting. But both the early planting and the later planting, all of the species were able to pick up nitrogen 15 from 60 centimeters deep. However, when it was deeper at 120 centimeters, only the early planting was able to pick up that nitrogen 15. And the later October 1st planting was not able to reach that 120 centimeters. And then finally, on the right, for the 180 centimeters, we found that the radish only from the early planting, but not the other species in the early planting, were able to reach 180. But still, I want to emphasize that the radish, if planted by early September, can grow roots down to 180 centimeters in just like 3 months of growth, so almost 2 meters deep. Okay, and then this graph shows our comparison of the two-way mix versus the three-way mix, because we wondered if having a legume in the mix is going to impede the ability of the radish or the rye to grow these deep roots and capture the deep zero nitrogen. But we found no evidence that the clover hindered the fall rooting depth of the radish or rye. So again, the blue is the top of the radish, and the orange is the tuber of the radish, and then we have the, I'm sorry, that's not it. So the blue is the two-way mix, and the orange is the three-way mix. And then we have the top tuber and rye treatments for 60 centimeter burial on the left and 120 centimeter burial on the right. And there was never a difference in the ability of those cover crops to reach 60 centimeters and take up the nitrogen, or to reach 120 centimeters and take up the nitrogen, depending on whether the clover was in the mix or not. So clover does not seem to be impeding the growth of the other species. And what about the spring growth? So will spring cover crop growth compensate for a late planting date in the fall? And we found that no, it wouldn't, because in the fall, these graphs are showing the 120 centimeter burial. And as I went over before, we found that the early planted cover crops reached 120 centimeters in the fall, but the later planted cover crops did not. And still, when we resampled the biomass in the spring, still, the October 1st later planted cover crops did not reach that tracer that was at 120 centimeters. So having a late planting date in the fall, but a lot of spring growth, still it was not able to reach that deeper subsoil nitrogen. So then what about releasing the nitrogen that was captured to the following corn? So certain cover crops, especially when planted early, are reaching the deep soil nitrogen, but will they release it, and will it be available for use by the following corn crop? And so to find that out, we had planted corn on top of where all the cover crops were treated. And then here we show on the y-axis the percent of nitrogen 15 to 14. And the background level of nitrogen 15 that you would expect in the background was around here where the no cover crop corn was. So the corn by itself did not reach the nitrogen tracer. It was not able to reach that. This is from 60 centimeters deep. But we found that the three-way mixed treatment, the corn that was in the three-way mixed treatment, that did have a nitrogen signal. So that means that the nitrogen 15 from that three-way mixed cover crop was released and was picked up by the corn, but just in that one treatment. And this was corn at V5 stage. So in conclusion, we find that there's a very large pool of nitrate at risk to be lost over the winter months, about over 200 kilograms per hectare, and about 75% of that is in this deeper soil layer. We found that if you plant cover crops by early September, they can grow these deep roots and capture nitrogen from up to 180 centimeters deep in the fall, and that certain cover crop species will recycle this nitrogen and it'll be available to be used by the following crop. So I can take any questions if we have time.
Yes, we do have time for some questions.
We're going to do that, yeah, because we took estimates of the biomass for every species, and we know how much tracer that we buried, and so our next step is to try to figure out how much of what we buried did we collect, so like the recovery of it. Yeah.
So you mentioned that the three-way mix was the best for getting the nitrogen into the corn.
Mm-hmm.
It
came right after the three-way mix. Yeah, it wasn't quite significant. It had like a p-value of like 0.1 something, but I think that it's also capturing some of it. Yes.
Does your tillage radish live through the winter?
No, it doesn't. No, this is in Maryland, so that like 90% of the time will winter kill in Maryland. Yep. Yes. This was done on six different blocks, and three of them were a sandy soil, and three of them were a Christiana clay soil. Yeah.
What percentage was of your total biomass was over?
I don't remember the exact planting rates, but in the fall it was very sparse. You didn't see it much, but in the spring it was probably about half of what. We did, and yeah, I do have that data. We did separate out the clover. We didn't harvest the cover crop biomass because we wanted it to decompose for the corn study after it, but I have photos of every plot, and we're estimating the biomass from the photos.
All right, well, thanks very much.